How you guys doing tonight? That was not inspiring. How are you guys doing? Good. So my name is Luke Erickson. As Jenny mentions, I am on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is an interdenominational Christian group over at Lincoln Land. So if you know anybody over at Lincoln Land, or if in the future you're going to be a Lincoln Land student, I would love to connect with you. Because what we do over there, we have some Bible studies that we have for students, but also just it's a group that we just want to meet people where they're at and connect them with Jesus, help those who know about Jesus to grow deeper in their faith and grow in their leadership capabilities, but then also to be able to meet people who maybe don't know Jesus at all, to be able to help them to find out a little bit more about who he is. And so I also go to church here at Cherry Hill, so it's exciting to be able to see all of you guys here and to know that you're involved and you're just desiring to know how Jesus can impact your life even at a young age. So I know that right now we're going through a series on the Apostles' Creed, and so I thought that we could just start out by just kind of reading through that together. So it's going to be on the slide back here. And so we'll just kind of start out. It's okay if, you know, you read it slowly. Okay, you guys ready? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. So, the Apostles' Creed was something that I think is really helpful for us as those of us who are Christians, or even those who are outside of the faith, to really understand what it is that we believe. And so when the authors of this creed came together, it was during a time that was a lot less literate, and so people didn't always have a copy of Scripture to be able to look and to see themselves. Like, what does Scripture say? And so it was just a compact way of saying, this is what we believe. This is what's important to us in our faith. And so I love what you guys are doing of kind of unpacking each phase of this creed so that you can understand it a little bit better. And what I love is that now that we have such a rich blessing that we do have Scripture, and we're able to look and see, what does the Bible say, and where do these things that come out in the Apostles' Creed, where do they come from in Scripture? And so tonight, we're going to be looking at, there is just a small section there that says, on the third day he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. So these are kind of two really big pieces of our faith. And thankfully for us, there is a great section of Scripture that kind of puts both of these things neatly together. And so it's in the book of Luke, chapter 24. It's my favorite book of the Bible because, you know, it's my name. It's where all this comes from. So let's just look together. We're going to have the Scripture up there. If you want to pull it out on your phone and check it out, or if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to follow along. But we're going to do some reading tonight, and then I'm going to unpack it, and I'm actually going to ask you guys to interact with me at some point, so I'm going to need a little bit more response than we've had so far, okay? So I'm going to ask you guys some questions at some point. So at this point, right before this was the whole crucifixion story. So Jesus has been killed, and then they went and they laid his body in the grave. And a couple of weeks ago, Luke did a great job of kind of talking to you guys about what it means, that part where it said descended to the dead, and just kind of unpacking that, because that's that can be a confusing part and isn't something that's spelled out in this part of Scripture. But so we're going to pick it up here in verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. When they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. So let's just take a pause right there. First of all, a lot of crazy stuff happening in these eight verses, right? So these women who were a part of, it doesn't name them by name here. It does a little bit later, shares who these women were. But they were close friends of Jesus. And so back in that time, like, you know, when they would, when you would bury someone, I mean, in this time, when you bury someone, a dead body stinks, right? And so they're going to lay some spices there to kind of help the aroma, and then just to mourn. This is a hard time. This is a close friend of theirs, and actually, Jesus' mother was among them. And so, again, just they're grieving, and they go, and they see, wait a second, this large stone has been rolled away, and his body's not here. What? They're trying to figure out what's going on. And just like that, a couple of angels appear to them. And so, again, frightened. I don't know about you, but I'd be super freaked out if there's these two angels that just appear. And but what do the angels say to them? What are the two things that the angels say? What's the first thing? Anybody? Come on. I'm telling you, I'm going to need a little response here. What's the first thing that the angels are telling them about? Anyone? Yeah, why do you look for the living among the dead? And they're like, because we buried him here like 2 days ago. So he's not here. These angels are saying, why are you looking for him here? Don't you know? And what's the second thing? They're telling them to remember back to something. Do you guys remember what they're telling them to remember back to? Yeah. So there's a part where they said, Jesus told you that this was going to happen. He warned you about this. And so something that's really cool in Scripture is that if you actually have like a Bible that you carry with you, a lot of times they'll have like these little cross-reference things where you can look and it will say like in verse 7, they will actually give you a verse, a chapter, like a book, a chapter, and a verse that you can look at and say, okay, yeah, Jesus actually did say this. And so you can turn and you can look at that. And even in your digital version, a lot of times they will have some sort of reference like this. And so guys, I would really encourage you to check this out. Like Scripture, that is, it's such a rich thing, and it's something that we really need to understand more and more, because God has laid out for us exactly what he wants and what we need for life, and it's all in the Bible. It's all there for us. So we're going to skip over to Matthew 16 and see exactly what the angels are referencing here. So in Matthew 16, Jesus is in this region, and I'm going to read it up here so I don't have to maneuver my Bible, but it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And so he's referring to himself. Son of Man was another thing, another name that Jesus referred to himself as. Who do they say I am? And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still some others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So for those of you guys who don't know, Jeremiah and Elijah were prophets in the Old Testament. And so in the Jewish religion, God would send people to the people to warn them, "Hey, you're wandering away from God. Turn back to what he has commanded you to do. Turn back to what the scriptures tell us to do." And John the Baptist was somebody, it's actually Jesus' cousin, who, if you look back in the earlier parts of the book that we're looking at, in the book of Luke, it tells about John the Baptist and how he was kind of this next line of prophets saying, "Turn away from the way that you're living and live according to the way that God wants you to live. It's a better life." And so some people, Jesus is asking his disciples, and these people are saying, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah." And he's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's great. But who do you say that I am?" And Peter pipes up. I love Peter because he's one of those people that if he were here right now, he'd be like the first one with his hand raised when he's asking. So it might be a little annoying to some of us, but he's a super go-getter. And so just in this, Simon Peter says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And at that point, man, if it just cut off there, it would be like, gold star, Peter, you got it. Jesus is so happy with that answer. And so as we go on here, he says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter." And so this is actually when Jesus changes Peter's name. And says, "You're Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." We talked about Hades a little last week, right? "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anybody that he's the Messiah. So Peter kind of gets, this is Jesus giving Peter his gold star. And then, in typical Peter fashion, he ticks Jesus off in the next sentence. So let's go on to this next one. It says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain." All right, this is what the angels are referencing here. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life." So Jesus told them, this is what's going to happen. And Peter's over there like, "Surely not, Lord. This will never happen to you." And so he's rebuking Jesus. And of course, Jesus comes back at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Why do you think Jesus was so upset with Peter after Peter had just called him the Messiah, that now Jesus is calling him Satan? Why? Like, what's the big deal there? Anybody have any idea? No, nobody has. That's okay. What he's saying, it tells us in the text, he says, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely the concerns of man." So what he's saying is that, Peter, right now you're so concerned about you and your narrow mind of what you can see. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in that. And what he's saying is you need to have the concerns of God. Jesus is saying, I have the concerns of God in mind, and I have a purpose, and I'm telling you what that purpose is. And so these angels are reminding these women that may or may not have been there when Jesus said this. They might have been there, or they might have just heard from the disciples, you know, what happened. And Jesus, or the angels, are reminding them, Jesus told you guys that this was going to happen, that he was going to suffer these things, that he was going to be killed, and that he was going to raise again and be raised to life. So let's just see what happens next as let's go back to Luke. And it says, when they came back to the tomb, they told from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and the others with them, and they told the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over, and saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And so I want to point out a couple of quick things here. One, I don't think it's by accident that Jesus revealed these things to the women first. And guys, the culture and the context of that the Bible was written in did not esteem women to be in the same realm as men. And that's unfortunate. And so I think what Jesus is doing here is saying, guys, listen to the women. They are your equal. Just because you weren't there doesn't mean that what they're saying isn't true. And so I want you guys to be able to hear that Scripture does affirm women, does affirm their ability to be on par with men. So that's just a small piece of this story that I think oftentimes can be overlooked. And so Jesus speaks through these women, but of course the men don't listen to the women. And yeah, you can take that for what you will. But Peter remembers back to this, and he goes and he runs to the tomb, and he's like, oh, you know, there's that little inkling of, oh my goodness, Jesus did tell me that this was going to happen. So, all right, this is the first story. Now we're going to flash forward to, there's another scene that's coming up that I'm going to, there's these two dudes that are walking on the road to Emmaus. And so we're going to run through this really quick. So it said, now on the same day, two of them, these are two other guys, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened that weekend. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside of them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus walks up alongside of them, but they, for whatever reason, they can't tell who he is. And so Jesus asks, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened in these days? And so he's kind of like, where have you been this past weekend? And so Jesus, I don't know if you guys have seen this meme, but it just made me kind of think of this. What things? Tell me more. And so Jesus is just kind of sitting there like, yeah, well, what are you going to tell me about all this stuff? And so as they go on, they stood, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, a powerful in word and deed before God and all other people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we hoped that he was one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels and that he was, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. And so I don't know about you guys, but I think that all of us in some shape or fashion can relate to these guys. They're disappointed right now. Like, all of their hope has been dashed because they were hoping that he was the Messiah. They were hoping that he was going to be this great realization to all of their hopes and dreams. So at this time in Israel, where the Jewish people lived, it was under occupation by Rome. And so this would be like, man, if some other country, I don't pick a country, Russia, China, whatever, there was a country that invaded the U.S. and they took over everything, and we basically had to be under their rule. So they would dictate everything that we did. We'd have to pay them taxes that left us so impoverished that we could barely care for our families. I mean, that would be pretty rough. And so what the Jewish people thought is the Messiah is coming to set us free from this, and so that we are going to be able to live a life that instead of having all of these people in control of us, no, we get to live our own life. And so I don't know about you, but these two things are not exactly the same, but I am a huge Cubs fan, all right? So some of you can relate with that. Some of you guys are like, no, yeah, I see these two guys are like, nah, I'm going to stop listening to them right now. But so before, circa 4 years ago, in 2016, before that time, man, the Cubs were the laughingstock of all of sports, right? Hadn't won a World Series in 108 years, hadn't even been to a World Series in 71 years. But this was going to be the year. And so I'm one of those guys. I'm so excited. They had the best record in the regular season. They just wiped through the first two rounds of the playoffs. They went to the World Series, and then they lost three of the first four games. And I'm bumming. I'm like some of these guys behind me that are just like, nope, it's over. It's over. And they, all of this hope that they had built up, that, man, this was finally going to be it. I'd live my whole life, and this was finally going to be the moment where we got to prove everybody else wrong. And it seems like all hope is lost. They're one loss away from their season ending. And so it's kind of like these guys on the road that have put all their hope into finally, this might be the Messiah. And then he died. And yeah, the women went to the grave and they didn't find him there. But let's go back to the story, because Jesus gives them some hope. So picking back up, Jesus says, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village, which they were going to, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized them, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us in the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those with them assembled, saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." The two had told what had happened on the way and how Jesus had recognized them. Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So what do you guys think? All right, so The women went to the tomb. He's not there. Angels are there. Say, why do you look for the living among the dead? These two guys, now he appears to them, but he kind of just like went all ghost on them as soon as they recognized him. At this point, if you were the disciples who have gotten these two reports, would you believe that Jesus was alive? It's okay. You can give me your honest opinion. Yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down. No, no. Okay, what would it take for you to believe that Jesus was actually risen? You two guys that gave me the thumbs down. What would it take for you to believe? Yeah. What's your name? Okay, yeah. What would it take for you? To see him? Okay, all right. What else? What else, my man, right behind him? Huh? To see him? Okay, so see him, maybe touch him, maybe? Like, and know, like, okay, all right, this is for real. Okay, that's fair. Let's go on. So, next verse. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. I'm here. He said they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost, right? He's had some ghost-like qualities to this point. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? I'm hungry. Jesus was hungry. And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled as is written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And so he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. All right, so you two guys were there. Now do you believe? You good with this now? You were able to touch him, and you were able to, like, he ate food in front of you, and it didn't just, like, fall out. So he's there. He's real. He even talked about, I'm not a ghost. See, I got bones, and I've got flesh. And so, all right, Jesus is alive. Now, what does that mean? Like, so before, if he had actually died, then what the people said before, that he was, oh, he's just another prophet, like John the Baptist, like Elijah, like Jeremiah, or he's just kind of like another Moses. That's great, but it's not any different than them. And so the fact that Jesus defeated death, that he rose from the grave, that means everything. That is what our faith hinges on, because now we don't just believe in somebody who just died, who said a lot of good things, taught a lot of good things, and then died. No, we believe in someone who has power over death. And now that he has power over death, he can show us how to truly live. And guys, that's what's so important, is that the hope that these guys placed in him wasn't misplaced. It was a true hope that he would come and he would give them new life. And so it was similar. And now, don't get me wrong, I am not saying that the Cubs winning the World Series is on par with Jesus rising from the dead. Okay? These are two very different things. The Cubs winning the World Series is a very temporal thing. But at the same time, I could imagine that the people that were there with Jesus that just realized, no, my hope wasn't misplaced, would be just like when the final out of the World Series, and they're so excited, like the players are rushing on the field, and I swear, like I was like jumping for joy in my house. I was so excited, right? So how could that same excitement be placed in the fact that now I have hope in something that is true, that Jesus did rise from the grave? He is the resurrection and the life. And so then I still haven't gotten to the ascension part, and that's so I've gotten to the first part. I promise you that the second part isn't going to be as long. But so why was it a big deal then that he ascended? Why couldn't Jesus have just hung around and kept teaching us for the next 2,000 years until you and I are here right now? Wouldn't it have been cool if instead of me up here, you had Jesus? Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. Why couldn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? Anybody have any ideas? No? Nobody has any ideas? Let's look at Scripture. So it says, now the ascension, so this is the end of this story in Luke. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And when they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So it doesn't tell us there, but let's go back to John 16 really quick. And this is Jesus talking, and he says, I have told you all this so that when their time comes, you'll remember that I've warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So, does anybody know who he's talking about when he says the advocate? The Holy Spirit, yeah. And so, if Jesus doesn't leave, if Jesus doesn't ascend back to heaven, then we don't get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And guys, I want to tell you that the gift of the Holy Spirit is an amazing thing. And when you decide to follow Jesus with your life and say, I'm not going to live in that old way again, I'm going to live for Jesus, you are given the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's a piece in Romans that says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside of you. So the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. And I don't want to dig too deep into that because you guys are going to get there in a couple of weeks in the Holy Spirit talk here. So I'll leave that there. But guys, that's why these two parts are so crucial to our faith, is because if Jesus did not die, then, okay, but Jesus did die, as we talked about the last few weeks. But if Jesus did not rise again, then he's no different than any other prophet ever. But because he rose again, we have hope. And then he ascended to heaven, and so now we have the Holy Spirit. And the life that you can live, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is like none other than you could live apart from him. It's what true life really looks like. And so I'm gonna pray for you guys real quick and give you some time to talk about this in your small groups. I know that we're running way behind, and I apologize for that. But let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we can turn to that and that can be a place that we can always turn to for truth, and that you can reveal yourself to us through your word. God, thank you for the hope that we have through your resurrection. And God, thank you for ascending to the Father so that we can have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that we can live a life that is empowered by you through your Spirit. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.